Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power that goes along with food power, that goes along with saving money. Hey, why not? How we think, what we believe, and the action we take makes all the difference in the world. And who doesn't want to save money? One of the most important aspects of life is enjoying food. But my goodness, have you noticed how the cost of food is just really going up quite high? Yes, inflation is hitting us right in the pocketbook. Can we do something about this? Can we enjoy food, savor it, and save money at the same time? You bet your donuts you can do that. Maybe I shouldn't have said donuts. Laura Starr is my guest this morning. Her book is The Frugal Foodie Cookbook. Laura, maybe I should say, you bet your sweet scones we can do this.
Instead of donuts.
Scones are delicious. Donuts are, too. Maybe we can fry a scone and make cronuts are the hot pastry now. Maybe we can do our own scone version and make money that way.
Absolutely. Now, Laura, I wanted my audience to know a little bit about you. You actually have columns where you write about how to have delicious food, have things economical, so that you don't have a lot of money going out in excess. And today, I think, and this isn't to put down the businesses like the Starbucks and the coffee places mm-hmm. and all of this. That's fine. Everything's great. But sometimes we have objectives, and sometimes, like with many students in school, they have to watch every penny. And
absolutely.
They are on such a tight budget. And mm-hmm. my goodness, in my lifetime, that has happened many different times where mm-hmm. the budget has gotten very tight. Maybe there's an objective of saving money. I think of a family I know that had student debts that went through the ceiling. And the husband and wife looked at each other and said, you'll know we'll be paying on these debts until we die. How can we whip them out of existence in a short period of time? And they really did a phenomenal thing. And one of the areas that they got very strict about was not eating out. They just said, we cannot do this. If we're going to conquer this one aspect of our financial money pit, then by golly, we have to look at everything and we have to look at it with clarity. And mm-hmm. you do a good job with the Frugal Foodie Cookbook. Now, I know you and Lynette Shirk combined mm-hmm. together your resources, and Lynette is a chef, and mm-hmm. she's authored 9 cookbooks. So tell us how the two of you got together on this, and what prompted you to put this delightful book, the Frugal Foodie Cookbook, together.
Sure. Well, we're very lucky that our editor at Viva Editions put us together. Lynette has great experience as a chef and a cookbook author, and I'm, you know, just like so many people out there, am a working mom, very busy, don't have a lot, you know, the things I don't have, time, money. And, you know, really, and I've also written several cookbooks. I do I do a lot of things. And so it was really a culmination of the things I enjoy doing, the things I'm passionate about, and really be able to dig into all and to network with a lot of my friends and family about what they do to, you know, save money and eat well. I think part of our challenge is that the cheap food isn't always the best food, the best for you, or really the best tasting. And so how you can really enjoy delicious food and not spend a lot of money.
I think this is so important. I have had some very dear friends who passed on now that survived the Depression, and I remember mm-hmm. as a young person listening to them and listening mm-hmm. to their stories about how their families would go out into the fields and pick dandelion greens, or they would, you know, they learned how to work with the environment around them. Well, today, most of us live in areas where, because of pesticides or something else, you're not going to be out scrounging by the side of the road trying
for dandelions, right?
But you, and in today's world, I remember, my goodness, 20, 30 years ago, you could buy vegetables. I could go out and I could get vegetables so inexpensively. It was unbelievable. I was living in California. I could buy a month's worth of vegetables, and we ate a lot. And I was just spending very, very little.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, that was a time where meat wasn't all that high. Today, vegetables and fruits, you go and you start paying a dollar something a pound, $2 a pound, $3 a pound. In New York, I mean, it can be extremely expensive, different parts of the country. But I'm in Washington, and we have some of the best fruit that you could possibly get in the country. And I go into the grocery stores, and I go, holy Moses, look at these prices. So
it's true. It can be very expensive, especially if you're on a very, very limited income. I have friends who just participated in the SNAP challenge, where they committed to living on the same amount of money that recipients of the SNAP program, which is commonly known as food stamps, receive. And they basically had no fresh fruits and vegetables in their diet. And when you combine that with just if you're in certain neighborhoods or in this country, or if you're limited by your access to transportation, you physically sort of can't get to places that sell fruits and vegetables. So for some people in those real extreme situations, it's a huge challenge and a huge challenge to their health and well-being. For most of us, though, we're fortunate enough that we you know, we can fit fruits and vegetables into our budget and our diet. It's just making the intention to do it and to do it in a smart way.
Now, let's talk about roasting your own coffee. Now, I'm sure somebody said, are you for real? You expect me to roast my coffee? Who has the time for this nonsense? Well, what? You know, good. But let's talk about this, because this is one of the first things in your book that you bring out. Why in
it's
the
true.
World would you encourage this?
You know, it is. And it's funny because, you know, I don't expect busy people who, you know, to roast their own coffee on a daily basis, unless that's something that, like, you really get a kick out of. And so a lot of, you know, the approach to the book is, you know, nobody has time to do all of these things every day. You know, we all have to live in the world. We all have to get out of the door in the morning. But it's about picking the things that work for you, that you enjoy doing, that you think are fun. So if you're really into coffee and you have access to unroasted beans and it's something you want to give a try to, it'll be fun and you will save money. If you're a baker and you want to bake a week's worth of scones so you can have fresh scones in the morning, you know, you can incorporate that into your routine. If you're a cook and you want to make a delicious roasted chicken and have wonderful chicken meals throughout the week, you can do that. So, yeah, roasting your own beans, I'll agree, is a little extreme, but it's about incorporating the things into your budget and your diet and your schedule that work for you and feel fun.
Well, Americans are one of the biggest consumer groups of coffee in the world. And I think that if someone has a thermos, and I loved your suggestion about this is your frugal foodie tip. Non-fat milk makes better foam than low-fat or whole milk, and it makes
it's
a latte
true.
With a lot more body, and the body doesn't have a problem with it. It just really is something, and I loved your Turkish proverb. You have all these little goodies that you toss in with the book. Coffee should be as black as hell, strong as death, and as sweet as love. And pour
there
that
you
Turkish
go.
Coffee. You put a spoon in it, spoon stands up all by itself.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, it is that. But it really is amazing. And I just think this is so much fun. Now, I was jokingly saying at the beginning when we started talking about having scones, we've got to share the recipe for your oatmeal raisin freezer scones. Because this is something we... And I think we've adopted this from the European attitude. The Europeans love this. They love their hot coffee or their hot tea with something sweet day. I was just talking to someone day before yesterday that I was visiting with, and because of their travels, they said they just absolutely love having a piece of a muffin or something to go along with that hot cup of Java. So let's talk about this, because, and I want to give out the ingredients, because this is something that really can save money. College students could do this. Older people could do this, or maybe have someone do it for them, and then they'll have that wonderful, wonderful, sweet item in the morning. It takes 2 cups of flour, 1 cup of old-fashioned rolled oats, and oats are one of the most economical foods you can buy, 1/3 cup of light brown sugar, 2.5 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1.5 sticks of unsalted butter, and that should be chilled, 3/4 cup of raisins, 1 cup plus 1 tablespoon of milk, that's going to be divided up, 2 tablespoons of granulated sugar, and 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. And this can be made in a Cuisinart, and your oven has to be preheated to 400 degrees. Your flour, oats, brown sugar, baking powder, baking soda, and salt, you put it in a food processor a few times. Then you put your butter into 1 tablespoon pieces, distributed over the dry ingredients. You pulse until the mixture resembles coarse meal. Put it in a bowl, mix in the raisins, add your milk, mix till blended, and then you make it into a ball. Your hands should be floured, but you make it into a ball, divide it in half, and you make 2 8-inch rounds. You cut them into 8 wedges and put them on a lightly greased cookie sheet. Bake them for 12 to 15 minutes. They should be golden in color. And while they're baking, you take 1 tablespoon of milk with a granulated sugar and a cinnamon. And once the scones are baked, you brush them with that glaze while they're still hot. And then after they cool, you can wrap them up, freeze them, and you're ready to go.
You are ready to go. And what I love about this recipe is, A, until recently, not a lot of people made scones. It was sort of they weren't as common, and so they were a little exotic. And so people thought you were really, really pretty cool when you brought scones for the bake sale or had your fresh scone. It's a really inexpensive recipe. You know, the only thing that really costs anything is butter, which is a little expensive these days, but it goes a long way. And it's also very adaptable. If you want to make a sweeter scone, you could put chocolate chips. If you happen to have some dried cherries in your cabinet, you can use dried cherries. You can swap out different spices for the cinnamon. You can add some pumpkin. There's really no limit to the way you can adapt the basic recipe. And when you bake, and they bake a big batch, 16 really generous scones, and so you can pop them in your freezer, put them in your toaster oven in the morning, and then you've got a fresh hot scone, like you said, to have with your hot, strong coffee, and you just saved, you know, $4 or whatever they cost it at Starbucks, and they're also a much more reasonable size, much healthier. I mean, those ones at Starbucks are not only expensive, but they're 500-600 calories with a lot of sugar. So you're eating much more wholesome and much more delicious and much more economically.
And I think that if they used whole wheat flour instead of the white flour, it's going to have a different texture to it also.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely.
A lot of things that you can do with it. Now, Joan Rivers, you quote her, and I think Joan has some of the best comments. She says, I hate housework. You make the beds, you wash the dishes, and 6 months later, you have to start all over again. I'm going, 6 months later? Anybody, any woman in the world that's going to listen to this, any guy that has to take care of his own place is going to say, are you kidding? We're supposed to do this every day. Well, we gals typically are the ones that do it every day, and the guys go, yeah, maybe once a month, as long as nobody comes home, who cares? But you have some cleaning tips in here.
Yeah, there's a lot, cleaning products can be expensive, and you always think sort of the next new product is going to magically, you know, clean your counters with little effort. But the truth is the basic ingredients of cleaning products, ammonia, baking soda, vinegar, are things that you have around your house. They're, you know, cost pennies. So I do have a few recipes and formulas and tips for cleaning products and ways you can save money cleaning around the house.
Yes, you do. And one of them is a multi-purpose cleaner. And you use baking soda, dish soap, ammonia, white vinegar, and warm water. And you say it's just great.
It does. It works great. Ammonia, vinegar, baking soda, those are the secrets of the kitchen, and you can find, you can pretty much clean, disinfect, germ, you know, de-germ your house with those ingredients. And, you know, if you're interested in having it smell delicious, a few drops of essential oil will we'll do the trick, and then it can be just like the fancy brands of cleaning products, but really very inexpensive.
Now, I'm going to bring up something that I know just about every woman in the world. Men don't typically bother with this. Every once in a while they might, but we women typically do. It's being a hipper clipper. That's what you call it. sensible solutions. Let's talk about coupons, because they can really be misleading. And if you're on a budget, you better understand what's in front of you. And is it something that's viable?
Right. It's true. I used to, you know, that was sort of our Sunday rituals. We'd go through the paper and clip the coupons. And you know, if the coupons are for products that you normally buy that fit within, you know, what your family enjoys and fits within your budget, then, you know, go for it. You know, why not save the 50 cents? And stores sometimes double the coupon. You know, why not save the dollar? The trouble is when most of the coupons that are available either in the Sunday paper or online are for products that are pretty expensive anyway, are not especially healthy, are the sort of processed, packaged kind of foods that really don't help you either eat well or save money. So, and, you know, time is money as well. So the time it takes to find the coupons, to clip the coupons, to be at the right store, to get them all organized, may not be saving you as much as you think at the end of the day. So, you know, but, you know, if it, some people, it's, you know, their hobby and they do, you know, they do really well with it. But for me, and, you know, the way my family lives and the kinds of foods we like to eat and the kind of products we like to buy, coupons don't really help us contribute to those goals. And so it's not a regular part of how we shop.
One of the things that I have done through the years is talk to friends or neighbors and say, I'm interested in going to one of the big box stores and I want to buy XYZ. I'm not going to need all of it. Would you like to chip in? And
yeah.
We'll split it. And boy, is that great. And I think so many times if you have friends or neighbors and maybe they're on a limited income or there's just a couple, they only need a certain portion of something. And if you can do that, that is a tremendous savings too. If you can find something that all of you want, especially if you can go to like your local markets, you know, your farmer's markets, and say, gee whiz, I want to buy a flat of blueberries, or I want to buy XYZ, or maybe honey. You know, they might have a special deal, whatever you've got, and it's local. And you can go in and say, no, you're not going to be able to fix it. That is a great thing to do, I think. How
it's true. It's a great, it's great. And I know, you know, at Costco, I see that in the parking lot a lot. I see people coming out of Costco and doing the, like, you know, splitting the paper towels or splitting the, you know, different things that they've pooled in on to buy, which is a really great strategy because just like coupons, the Costcos and the warehouse stores can really be a mixed bag if you're not careful. You know, you are paying an annual fee and you are, you know, nobody gets out of those places for less than $200 or $300. And because, you know, the way the store is set up, you know, you're spending, you know, $10, but you're getting a huge amount of something. But psychologically, that $10 sort of loses its value. And all of a sudden, you know, a $15, you know, dress or a $10 bottle of wine, all these things start to come into the category of impulse items. And so you start to put things in your cart that you wouldn't normally buy, and the things, like, I would never just put a, you know, $30 dress in my cart as a whim in another store, but within the environment of the warehouse store, it feels a little different. So those are things to be cautious of when you're doing the warehouse club thing. But if you do it frequently and you do it smart and you share the big purchases with friends, it's a great way to go.
I really think so. Now, you've got a little bit of history in your book, The Frugal Foodie Cookbook. And it's the history of the Blue Plate Special. My goodness, you hardly hear that term anymore unless you're traveling in certain areas of the United States, and they'll have a blue plate special. I know in Montana and in some other areas, they'll have that sometimes on the menu. Where did that come from?
So that's sort of old diner lingo, and there's a whole great section in the book about, you know, the great diner lingo that people would use when they were sort of slinging hash in the 30s and 40s at these diners. And so that was sort of the special of the day that working people and people on a budget could have when they were going out, and it was usually sort of a simple meal, and it was literally served on a blue plate.
And it cost as little as 2 bits. That was
Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And that's the other thing too, is, you know, certainly eating out is a pleasure, and it can be and should be. And there's, you know, lots of ways to, you know, eat out that you can save money as well. You know, there's you can share dessert, you can skip the appetizers, you can skip the alcohol, you can dine out sort of on Tuesday evenings or nights that are less popular. You can go out to lunch, which is often less expensive than going out to dinner. So you don't necessarily need to, depending on what you enjoy doing and what works for your family, I think, you know, incorporating some meals out into your lifestyle can certainly be a pleasure, as long as you do it in a way that works well.
One of the elements that you discuss is how to store food. And I think of young people, young students, this isn't something typically they even give consideration to. So they go in and they find that something's growing, something on it that should not be there. And they go, and you go and you say, well, what did you put it in? Well, how did you store it? Did you freeze it? What did you do? Blah, blah, blah. And this is something that a lot of people have just gotten away from and they take for granted. How is this significant, and what safety things do we need to be aware of with the storage of food?
Sure. You know, we throw away so much food from our kitchens every year. And, you know, and you're right, you know, I see, you know, youngsters or, you know, young people, college students who will just, like, put a sandwich, like, in the fridge, like, on a plate, if they're lucky, on a plate. And so so keeping food safe is definitely important. You know, making sure that hot foods are cool before you, completely cool to the touch before you wrap them and put them away. Making sure things in the freezer are wrapped either in foil or plastic before you put them away. Minimizing the air around food is one of the best ways to keep it fresh. And one of my good tricks is I use a Ziploc bag, which we always wash and reuse, and just put a drinking straw into the corner, zip it almost closed right around the drinking straw, suck out the air that's in the bag, and then seal it all the way. So it's sort of like your own homemade vacuum sealer that takes a lot of the air out of it. Yeah, and it works well, and it minimizes, you know, the air around it, which contributes to food spoiling. The other thing to note is that the sell-by dates and the use-by dates on food are merely suggestions, and you can really tell a lot about how safe a food is by how it smells and by how it looks. So don't be afraid to eat the food that's been stored properly. If it's especially frozen food, especially shelf-stable food, if it's beyond its, quote, sell-by or use-by date, those mostly have to do with quality and not safety. And so maybe some of the flavor may diminish a little bit. But, dairy products are the things to be most concerned about. And, again, you can tell very quickly if a dairy product is really spoiled, or meat. If it's stored properly, it can really stay in your freezer, in your fridge, on your shelf for a very long time.
You have so many delightful things in your book, The Frugal Foodie Cookbook. You have got the Love Breakfast Bed. You've got Stone Soup. Okay, we got to find out about the Stone Soup. No, you don't go out in your backyard, folks, and dig up in the dirt and bring the stones in and put it in a pot. Although there have been people historically that have done that, trying to get nutrients because they've been in a level of starvation. But we're not there. What is Stone Soup, and tell us about the legend.
Yeah, so Stone Soup is an old old legend, old folk story about a beggar who comes to town with just a stone, and he sets up in the middle of town with a pot, and it has and the boiling water, and makes a big show about he is going to make the most delicious soup you've ever tasted with just this stone that he has. And he puts it into the pot, and all the people in the town sort of get curious, and he says, "This soup is amazing. You're not going to believe it, but it might be a little better with some potatoes, but I don't have any potatoes." And the villager says, "Oh, I have a couple potatoes I can throw in there." And then the next person comes, and he goes, "This soup is going to be so delicious, but it might be better with carrots." And the next villager says, "I've got a few carrots I can throw in." And on and on and on till this pot is full of all of the delicious things that the villagers contributed. And they all eat the soup in a big celebration, and he is hailed as a genius for having created the most delicious soup with simply a stone. And of course, the idea is it wasn't the stone; it was everyone's contributions to the pot that's what mm-hmm. made the soup delicious. So there's a section in the book where I talk about entertaining on a budget, and one of the ways to do it is to get everybody to contribute to the meal. And people love to do that. It makes them feel like they're part of the party, like they're hosting, like they're invested. So making, a stone soup, and you can go ahead and get a clean stone and throw it in there too. Mm-hmm. But having everybody bring, bounty from their vegetable garden or leftovers from the week or, bread to eat with the soup, and having everyone bring something, stirred it up in a big pot, and getting together and having a nice meal.
You have a section in here just for starving students. That's how you title it. And there's two things that I want to share. One is the banana dog, and I thought, I don't know of a kid in the world that wouldn't enjoy this. You take a hot dog bun, spread one half of it with peanut butter, add a whole peeled banana, and then slather it with jelly. Man alive, I don't know of a kid that would not enjoy that. I mean,
isn't that great?
And we're talking about college students. But I really liked this no-bake kitchen sink bar, where you take mm-hmm. a half a cup of peanut butter, a third of a cup of honey, put it in a large bowl, you microwave it for 30 seconds, add 3 cups of your favorite granolas and cereals, and 1 cup of chocolate chips, raisins, dried fruit, or fruit chips. You can use anything you want. Mix it well, spread it in an 8-inch square pan, and chill it until firm, and then you cut it into bars and you serve it. My mm-hmm. goodness,
doesn't that sound good?
Yeah, kids would just love it. Well, you better have more than one 8-inch pan. But this is a recipe that you could double or triple.
Absolutely.
And, you could wrap it in wax paper if you wanted to, and you could take it with you to school. But it is something that's a quick energy snack, and mm-hmm. young people are big snackers. So these are things that are just great, a breakfast burrito, scrambled eggs, cheese, wrap it in a tortilla. You may want to stop at one of the fast food restaurants for this, but why not make this at home? It's going to save you time. You package it up. You're ready to go.
It's true. And having those kind, just a few things in your repertoire. And like you said, make a bunch at once. Kids don't need a different snack every day. they're really pretty happy to have mm-hmm. the same thing. So if you make a batch of, a big pot of scrambled eggs at the, on Sunday, and then you can make the breakfast burritos really quickly during the week. The cooked eggs will work fine during the week, so you don't have to scramble eggs every morning or make a batch of these breakfast or snack bars every day. Just do it once a week, a couple times a month. Do a big batch at a time, and you'll have plenty to have on hand.
Now I know people that this book is just delightful, Frugal Foodie Cookbook. I think it's a great book to hand to a college student that's getting that's involved and they're on their own. I think it's a great gift for yourself because there's a lot of wonderful tips in here. But I especially like some of the quotes. I'm going to quote Julia Child. "The only real stumbling block is fear of failure. In cooking, you got to have what the hell attitude." And Julia, bless her soul, she was loved by millions and still is. And she had that attitude. She was a wonderful woman. She really brought an art of cooking into the world. You, mm-hmm. I think, Laura Starr and Lynette Shirk have just done a wonderful job with this delightful book, The Frugal Foodie Cookbook. I can't say that real fast because my tongue is
It's a bit of a tongue twister.
Now, they can find you on Facebook, and just go check it out. And I think you are going to check out VivaEditions.com. But I just think that it's been a delight. Thank you for being my guest today.
Oh, thank you so much, Donna. It's been so much fun.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't forget the Frugal Foodie Cookbook. You can always learn something new and have fun reading it while at the same time. This is Donna. We'll be back in just a moment. More good things to share. We'll be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, and you can give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Give me a call at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I wanted to share with you some information about a printer. Oh, before I get into technology, for those of you up in Alaska that are listening to the show, I am going to be going to Fairbanks and Anchorage. I will be in Fairbanks on the 15th, and then I'll be in Anchorage on the 17th. And if you'd like to meet with me while I'm up there, give me a call at my office, 253-582-5604. If you want to get more details, just go into my website, check out my newsletter, and just go to DelphiInternational.com, and you'll have all the details there. So anyway, I wanted to get that out real quickly. Looking forward to going up to the far north. Alaska's already, Anchorage already had some snow. I don't think it disappeared. It was too early in the season. But anyhow, I wanted to share with you some information about a 3D printer. Now, more and more information is coming out about this phenomenal development. You remember Star Trek, where they would go to this little square place in the wall, and they would say, chocolate milk, or I want a piece of tort cake or something. And within seconds, it would materialize, and they would carry it out. Well, we all knew that was science fiction. We're getting closer and closer to being able to manufacture things in a way that was just science fiction for a long, long time. Now, this is a machine that new printers, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about, is a 3D printer. It's called the Cube, and it is really a small level of digital technology that is available. Now, it's, you know, just pocket change, $1,300 in that vicinity. And, of course, whenever new technology comes out, the price tag is always pretty high. But this is how this machine works. The unit melts plastic from cartridges you buy, just like your printing ink cartridges, and it layers it over and over again to create desired items. If you want a new bracelet, a set of coasters for a potluck, or a toy, what you do, you download models for the printer to make the items that you're interested in making. And I've got a picture of these items in front of me, and it is phenomenal, the detail. It will make just about anything you can think of. However, you're limited. You can only use this with plastic, and the items are inanimate plastic objects. However, scientists are working and engineers are working to experiment with raw materials. Who knows? You might be able to make your own lunch with just some things put into a machine. They think even clothes that you might want to wear. Now, something that goes along with this, which has been around for a long, long time, is developing organs. So many times people are waiting on lists, like liver transplant lists, kidney transplants, heart transplants, just pancreas transplants, all of this. And I think it was about the year 2000, there was a program on television I was just fascinated with, loved it. They talked about technology developments done in different parts of the world. And at that time, they featured on the show this little mouse on which an ear had been grown, a prosthetic ear. And they had taken cells, and they had a certain mold that was put into this little creature's back. And it developed and grew so that then they could replace the outer part of the ear for someone. And it went, this particular situation was a little girl, and she had lost her ear, and they were able to replace that outer portion. You couldn't tell that it was any different from the one on the other side of her head that she had. So new organs being made from your own cells. Well, Princeton University is doing a lot of research. A bionic ear. Now, what's different with what was being spoken about in 2000? We're in 2013. That technology we're standing on now, but we are taking it to a different level. This is a bionic ear that will both send and receive sound. Now, the cells they used were not the cells of the human being. They actually used cells of a cow. There's a little bit of gel, and they put some silver in it. Now, the printer that I was just talking to you about actually created an ear. And what they're wanting to accomplish with this is to interface this body part with not just the human body, but also be able to have an interface maybe with computers. So we are, because we have all of these wonderful minds that are coming up with these various ideas, it is amazing how quickly technology is moving forward. And won't it be wonderful that if you have someone who is very ill with a diseased liver, a heart, something like that, taking maybe a portion of their healthy cell tissue and growing a new organ for them. They are actively working on this, and it's just absolutely amazing. And when it comes to clothing, well, we've heard about, you go online, go to certain places, and you give them your measurements, and they'll make up your outfit for you, and you won't even have to go to the store to find what you want. Well, I'm old-fashioned. I really love shopping. And when I go, I have to try clothes on. I just don't want to go and do something on the computer and then go in and find, nah, it's not really what I want. I'm one of these touchy-feely persons. I like to be out there, feel the fabric, see how it looks, all this type of stuff. However, there's a designer, Janina Elaine. She printed a runway-ready shoe called the Exoskeleton. This summer, two people, Michael Schmidt and Francis Bettoni, went and crafted a dress out of a 3D-printed nylon mesh. Can you imagine someone saying, oh, where did you get that? Out of a printer. I'm telling you, this is amazing, amazing stuff. And remember what I said about food? Well, they want to produce meat from animal cells and other minerals like amino acids. And what they want to do is to develop a new type of food that could be printed up. Don't forget Star Trek. the mind of the human being is absolutely amazing with what it will come up with. It's absolutely fascinating. Well, if you want to chat, give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Give me a buzz again, 627-6008, preceded by 888. Now, tomorrow, we are going to be talking with Don Oscar Miro Quesada. Now, he's a shaman, and we are going to have the chance to hear about his journey. This man was introduced to shamanism after some very unique experiences he had, so we're going to be talking about that. And then next week, we are going to be talking with a man, Manny English, who has published two books, and they are at totally opposite ends of the spectrum. One is about the state of Texas, and the other one, is about an imaginative existence. We're going to discuss both of them because they both have a lot of validity. And then Jill Mattson is going to be with me next week. We're going to be having some beautiful music played, Healing Flower Symphonies. This woman has dedicated her life to using sound as a healing component, and it's just wonderful. And then we're going to be talking with Tom Carey inside the Real Area 51. Yes, we're going to get some real good information there and what every surviving spouse should know about veterans' benefits. So many of you have veterans in your family, and you need to know how to go through all of the paperwork. Mary Makrovich is the woman that is going to be with me. She's an advocate for veterans. She's been dealing with this for a lot of years. Her book is worth its weight in gold. And then Eric Lowett, collaboration economy. What is it? Why does it work? Is it something brand new, or is it something old that needs to be recostumed? Well, we'll find out about that. So we've got so many interesting people on the show, and I hope that you'll tell your friends about it and you will join us. Well, quickly, I wanted to share a little bit of trivia with you since we were talking about the frugal foodie earlier. Cornflakes. My goodness, people love their cornflakes. Now, how in the world did this come about? Maybe some of you are aware of it. And I can remember when I first found out about cornflakes and the history behind it, I was stunned. It came about because of a vegetarian health faddist. That's right. His name was John Harvey Kellogg. Now, the idea of having a flake for breakfast with milk wasn't even something the average American would have considered. However, in the late 1800s, in fact, about 1890, in that period, John Harvey Kellogg was a Seventh-day Adventist, and he was a medical superintendent of the Battle Creek Sanitarium, which was located in Michigan. Now, the people that were following him in the late 1800s, in fact, this clinic was founded in 1860, he devised a meatless, low-dairy regimen, which he called the Battle Creek Idea. And he found out, by accident, how grains could be dried and become like little flakes. He also was the originator for what we perceive as granola. You know, we were talking about that earlier. Now, this, even though he discovered it, it wouldn't have made any headlines anywhere if it hadn't have been for his brother, Will, who founded the largest cereal company in the world. Also, a salesman by the name of Charles William Post. Now, the salesman, Charles William Post, he really saw the market possibilities for the flaking of the grains. He set up his own spa, developed his own business, and was soon rivaling Kellogg's products with his own. Postum, grape nuts, Post Toasties. Ah, yes, there's a lot of those products still around. Now, both of these cereal giants were eccentric. And J.H. Kellogg went to real extremes. He talked about the evils of civilization. My goodness. It was everything from alcohol to tobacco and masturbation. And then Post became a Texas rancher. He experimented with rainmaking and was a virulent anti-unionist of his day. But what's so interesting about the whole thing is that in today's world, they will say their products are natural. That's right. The Rice Krispies, the Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops. My goodness, you go into the cereal section of the grocery stores and there's beaucoup of them. Unbelievable. Started with a gentleman in the 1800s. So cereals go back to that time frame. They were enjoyed historically many, many, many generations past. But it was the ability to make the flakes that made the difference. A common item that was taken to a whole new level because of the thinking of two different men. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a minute. Look forward to sharing more things with you. We'll be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top-of-the-line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008, and I'll be delighted to give you insight into your life if you're so interested. I wanted to share a story about two people that work for a company, AT&T, and they're very special individuals because they responded to an emergency that was quite critical. And the two men that were involved in this, one was named Ron, and the other one was named Gareth. And what occurred is there was a woman by the name of Yolanda. She had just seen her son off to school, and she was cleaning house, like so many of us do after our kids take off and are out of the way. And she decided that she was going to take a break. And she had her laptop with her. And all of a sudden, there was this big boom. And the next thing she knows, and this is all very rapid, the bed she's laying on lifts up, slams back down, glass was shattering, chunks of plaster were coming down on her. And her first thought was, of course, for her son, but he had already left for school. She wanted to get out of the room, but everything was happening so quickly. The debris had fallen, blocked her being able to get out of the room. She then thought, how am I going to get out of here? The room was filling with smoke. She saw the bedroom window, and the whole wall disappeared in front of her. The bedroom she was in, what was left of it, was starting to catch fire, and she started screaming. Helping. Well, there were two AT&T workers. Their name were Ron Shockley and Gareth Carpenter. Now, they happened to be repairing a phone line when the boom actually shook their truck. I mean, they felt it. They later learned that a gas line had ruptured, but they didn't know. And then they heard Yolanda screaming. People were running. Everything was catching fire. And these two men followed the scream. So Ron and Gareth go towards where they're hearing this screaming woman. She's two stories up. Where there had been a room, there was now only a ledge. That's the only space she had. And she was going to die. Well, by golly, they called her, "Jump, we'll catch you." She was frozen with fear. So this is what they tried to do. They got a ladder, they saw one, and they tried to get her to come down. But she was so terrified, her legs just wouldn't move. So what the man did then, what Ron did, he grabbed her, folded her over his shoulder, and brought her down safely. He did what a trained fireman would do. She couldn't move. She just was terrified. Well, slowly goes down the ladder. They reached the ground. The flames engulfed everything. The timing had been just critical. The doctors were amazed that Yolanda only had minor burns because of where she had been in the fire. The guys who had saved her life, they just packed everything up and went back to work. Now, they were honored by AT&T, but both of these men had an attitude. We just did the right thing. We did what needed to be done. We saved a woman's life. But Yolanda obviously feels a great deal differently because she would have died if they hadn't stepped outside of their safe zone to go into a danger zone. And she said after having everything lost, she went and lived with her parents. And she said, "We finally found a new place to live in." And then she said that her nephew, his name was Wardell, she found out he needed a kidney. Yolanda said she found out she was a perfect match for him. She said, "You know what? Because I was rescued, I was saved by these two men, Ron and Gareth." She said, "He actually saved more than just my life, because here it is a year later, and I'm giving a kidney to a member of my family that I was a perfect match for." Life has synchronicities that are absolutely incredible. And I thought this story was a very powerful one. I think when we do the right thing, there's a flow that occurs. And I think that there are so many good people on this planet of ours that they really do like doing the right thing. And I know that you're one of them. And I feel that whenever we can, wherever we can, when we can give assistance, when we can recognize that we're all sharing this planet, and when we can work together as a team, like these two men did, and like Yolanda is with helping her nephew, or we help a neighbor, or we, you know, become aware of a place where we can interact and we can give and we can share, it does make a difference. It really does make a difference. And I think that that's one of the greatest gifts in life, is understanding we don't accomplish anything by ourselves. When I say at the end of my show every day, remember always you're the master of your fate, you're the captain of your soul, I really mean that. You are in charge of who you are. It is your right to choose. We also are part of a human family. And when we are able, as a part of that huge, huge connection, whether it is on one level of life or another, when we understand that, we then will realize that we can have a very significant part in making the world a better place. And instead of engaging in fear, we will engage with what can we do? What is it that we can do that can make a difference? And don't ever think that any action is too small. Remember the butterfly that affects the weather by the flapping of its wings ever so delicately. You Donna Siebel. I'm delighted you were able to share your time with me today. Won't you join me tomorrow for a shamanic journey? Tell your friends. I'm delighted to have you with me at my audio table, if you will, the broadcast table. Thanks for joining me. Donna Siebel here. Have a fabulous day wherever you are on this planet of ours. Chat with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.